What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Yeah. I'm going to fart on this podcast today. Okay. That's how...
You said all the funny shit before the thing started. That's what was...
Well, I was going to... If I say it again, it's not going
to
be funny.
No, I was trying to start it, and then you, like, just stop talking. You're staring at me. It's like, we're recording, Kyle.
Well, I was, like, rumbling. Like, I was imitating what happens to a female when she rides on a motorcycle.
Whoa. That was weirdly specific.
Hashtag orgasms.
No, oh, okay.
Gotcha. Hashtag what's a clitoris.
Okay.
Hashtag I don't understand vaginas. Welcome to Sit Sock, everyone.
this is Kendrick.
This is Kyle.
My inimitable partner, Kyle, here.
You're my penultimate partner.
Penultimate? What?
It's the word of the week.
It's not the word of the week. It's just one that describes a situation, which actually turned out to be untrue.
I know.
So we found out we're moving offices.
And for Kendrick, it's a yet again thing. For me, it's a...
Yeah, this is... Thing. Yeah. This one is definitely different. But you don't care about that, because this is not a podcast about an insight into weird small-town corporate culture where you find out on Wednesday that you're moving on Monday, but really it's a week from Monday, and maybe, you know, now.
Oh, we already moved. Sorry, guys. We're at the new office right now.
Roll up and the building will just not even be there. Like, the whole office building is, like, just gone.
Kendrick and I actually live in Florida now.
Yeah.
So that's
So we're moving to Guam.
Podcast is going to get a teensy bit longer as we drive from Colorado to Guam.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might cut them short, you know. We don't know.
They offered us a crate of fish for a relocation, you know, bonus.
Yeah, and, like, while the crate can be useful for at home, the fish just isn't... smell right, you know?
They're not dead.
They're not.
Yet.
And they still...
They are
don't smell
not
right.
A good smelling fish. It's the Guam stink fish. I don't know how to convert the word Guam into a resident of Guam. Is it a Guamite?
Guamavians?
Guamavian?
Guamarine?
Guamestrian.
Guamestrian sounds so elegant.
It does.
So I kind of want to... I'd like to kind of, you know, beat a dead horse today. Let's talk about... Yeah, that's Kendrick punching a dead horse. We actually have a dead horse in the car.
It smells so bad.
Yeah, just like this poop fish, or the Guamanian, Guavarian.
Guamarian.
Guanarite.
Guamarian sounds alien.
Guamarian sounds cool.
Yeah, Guamarian stinkfish.
The Guamarian stinkfish.
The stupidest and my favorite part of that stupid Love Guru movie is that stink mop.
I've seen... it once, and you talk about it more than anybody, and that's not very much.
I like that movie in the same way that you like a cheeseburger that gives you food poisoning.
Dude, I feel like... Yeah, okay. I understand that.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to eat this more, but I also don't want to feel like crap after.
Or almost like, if you know, if you have a restaurant or something you like to go to, and you're like, this is garbage, and I don't ever want to take someone here, but I go there once a week.
Do you have, like, a...
Yes.
Fucking...
Yes.
Snowman in the seat?
You
didn't know where I was going, but you said yes.
Said
now you have to defend an actual living
yes
snowman.
I said repeatedly on account of the fact that it was Kate.
Hmm.
So now
Kate,
you brought
a living snowman. Yet again. You've been brought into said song without you actually being here.
She's not one of us. Okay. Let's just all stop and face the sun.
Well, I mean, this is, like... the thing that happens everywhere.
That doesn't make it okay, Kyle.
Well, I was going to say, yes, we beat a dead horse and talk about...
Which horse are we beating? We never did get around to that. We're like 15 minutes into the podcast.
We're
an hour and a half into the podcast.
We're 4 hours into our Guamanian podcast.
Guamarian.
Guanarite.
Guava?
Iguano?
Iguana iguano? That's a poop from a lizard.
God. Iguana iguano. Talk about the whitewashing of America.
Oh my.
Oh my.
We did that in the mid-18th century.
That we actually sell whitewash in America, and people are just using it everywhere. They're whitewashing street signs.
Yeah.
They're whitewashing
fences,
other people's cars. They're whitewashing my lawn. I don't even have a lawn.
That's really, yeah, that's problematic.
And worst of all, they're whitewashing my entertainment. So...
I like your build-up, even though it didn't make any sense. I liked your energy. The content was nonsense, but the energy was good.
I'm trying to be more like Glenn Beck. I hope that you guys can feel that in this podcast.
It's funny, I actually got Bill Maher, which which okay. was funny that you got that you were going for the opposite.
Well, I feel like they're all the same. So
let's bunch of assholes.
they're all those people.
Bombastic ass news.
But yeah, so we have had news this week or last week or sometime.
That is not how you use a motorcycle.
They cast little
Scarjo
as the person from Ghost in the Shell. I don't really
at this point this would be so old news.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome because we'll be so like unrelevant. We make things relevant again all the time.
Oh, dude! In the intervening time, maybe some other shit will go down.
Yeah,
and then we'll look like boobs. People like looking at boobs, right?
Yeah, people like listening to boobs too.
I don't mind it.
Kendrick, put a boob sound effect in here.
I think I just did.
But yeah, so everyone in the community, which I'd like to point out, another kind of dog fart statement.
Hold on. You're making no statements. Everybody in the
I know. I was going to explain that was a misnomer because it's not actually what it is. It's like four or five people.
It is some people of a number that's impossible to determine.
So everyone in the community.
All both of them.
All of the community. Even including me and Kendrick.
Specifically just the writers for the television show community.
And it's not even those guys.
No, but that number of people.
Yeah. So.
So three.
Are flipping their lid about.
Hurting their butts.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't even come up with a better thing. We can't go on the back and forth banter there because you just went to the maximum.
Yep.
The buttoning of the hurting. Or the hurting of the buttoning. About.
Don't button.
ScarJo not even being remotely animated. And that's why she's not a good character for this.
You know, I completely agree. There is a wealth of talent in Hollywood and out of Hollywood, quite frankly, that are animated. And that the fact that they're not using any of those actors is offensive.
It is. It's like, it really is a thing about, like, you really need to pare down your labor pool here. You need to respect the fact that animated actors need to be represented.
And this was a story about an animated person.
Yes.
So it's vital. It's core to the character, really.
I mean, let's be real about what Ghost in the Shell was. It was anime. Anime comes from a place of... It's animation. That's what the word comes from.
It's animated. And it's simply offensive to me that you would think you could whitewash it by putting a regular adult human person in that position.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you don't even care about the community or the culture around animations enough to even respect that they could be a potential for this position.
Right? Yeah, I feel like they didn't even consider any animated actors.
No, it's like, I mean, we can't find stats on this. I'd like to point that out, everyone listening.
Yeah,
this
data is really, really hard to collate.
Yeah.
And no one's collecting.
No, but we have some assumptions about society that we know internally, and those assumptions
they're true.
You know, that they're basically true. Minority groups don't get recognized for basically anything. Like,
ever.
And minority groups being animated people, people that have wheelchairs that only have one wheel.
Ducks.
If you can tell, we went on that banter for a long time. But the real problem is that ScarJo's white, and she's not Japanese.
Yeah.
And white people are not allowed to participate in any type of Japanese culture representation or anything.
So,
and that's
aside from the bombastic sarcasm and our little vignette that we just did there.
I like that.
It was fun.
I like the word vignette.
My favorite thing, I was going to share this with people who weren't there, was we did the same basic shtick on a Facebook tirade.
My favorite one was
the first one was... we went from whitewashing to dog washing.
I did dog washing with Air Bud.
With Air Bud.
How they replaced a solid actor, a basketball player with a dog. I mean, you can't just dog wash stuff like that.
You can't just dog wash things. Then Gideon talked about how you had an underdog story about coming up from the streets and rising to the top and becoming an expert racer, and they fucked it up in the movie Cars by car washing it, and that was gold right there. That was, we got to get Gary on this podcast.
Yeah, that was clever.
And then the last one you for was a
story about coming out of your own and being able to participate in a part of life that no one ever thinks you can, and that the Australians totally hogwashed it by putting Babe in the center of that. So it was a hogwash.
Yeah, they were hogwashed. I like that too. So that was a fun little mockery, but I think we can actually come back and have a somewhat serious conversation about this because,
yeah.
I mean, we're making fun of it because it got really out of hand. The whole thing got out of hand, and hopefully now, by our viewers
have either moved on
or Scarlett Johansson has been crucified for what she has done as a crime against humanity.
Crimes against humanity.
Or whatever the fuck
tailing
it is.
But not being
to really address
place.
This, instead of just making fun of it, which is fun and all, but I'd like to really get to the meat of this and look at the core concerns.
And I will still continue to be, you know, satirical and, you know,
irreverent.
Nonsensical and, yeah, totally off the wall because I can't even fathom.
Bordering on iconoclastic.
Yeah, I don't even know what those words mean together in one sentence.
Those are all words I said.
So, get to the meat of it. Give me my meat.
I mean, the concern originally is interestingly nebulous. Because you would think that the problem is clear. And it's not. Because every time you try and nail it down, it's like nailing Jell-O to the wall. It just wriggles around. One articulation of the frustration is that minority actors receive a disproportionate number of roles, leading roles specifically. Another concern is the reduction of cultural identities into fetishizations performed by the white masses.
And masses that, means 70% of actors that are actually white.
That by it's essentially cultural appropriation to use white actors to create these films when they are portraying Japanese culture.
So just let that settle in your mind for a second.
Yeah, and I'll circle around to that in a little bit. And then the other thing that I heard was they just grab actors for star appeal and don't consider their actual acting ability. Those are three of the concerns that I've heard leveled at the situation. I'd like to ever address them in no particular order.
I'd like to point out that Scarlett Johansson is in no way lacking in acting ability. In my opinion.
I would say that's the last point that I hit there, and I wanted to just slap that aside.
Yeah,
like
real quick.
Like an Aaron Coffin orgy.
If you haven't seen She, it's a really weird foreign artsy film about her being this alien that has to eat men to survive. Pretty cray-cray. That's one that's like one of those off-the-wall ones. I would point to her performance in Winter Soldier as one of the coolest performances in a superhero movie as like one of the most interesting characters in those movies.
I think that she is a very versatile actress, and she's excellent at action movies. And that, quite frankly, I think she is an excellent choice. Not because she's white, but because she's an excellent action movie actress. She can do the martial arts. She looked damn good running.
She was in that one movie.
In all honesty, if you've ever watched Mr. Ghost in the Shell, stuff she does as Black Widow is very applicable for a lot of this.
And just to be clear about to everyone, Kendrick has watched Ghost in the Shell?
Several times.
And I have never watched any of it.
I've watched it. It's been a while, but I'm familiar with the story and I'm familiar with the characters. At least enough where I feel like I can just talk about it. Not from an expert standpoint, but I can talk about it from my cursory memory.
And I know it's about something like Ghostbusters. Like, you know, ghosts, exactly. And they get caught and they get put in the shell. Is like, you know, that thing.
It's a giant pasta noodle, actually.
It's
so.
Like rigatoni or something.
It's actually a very interesting, it's a very interesting show. It's got a lot of really good stuff in it. Both the standalone complex and the Ghost in the Shell movie. Both of those are very, very good.
Any of which does that revolve around Japanese culture at all?
Well, that's sort of the second point that I got to, and I'd like to
see how we wrap.
We're going backwards again, which is what I wanted to do.
It's almost like we might have some semblance of structure here.
Well, I think we could just riff off each other well enough that it looks like that.
Ding! That was me winking at you guys.
I thought that was a fart.
No, that's not what farts sound like.
Oh, I was confused.
You have cancer.
Oh,
that's not okay. Anyway, Japanese culture portrayed in Ghost in the Shell.
This is a tricky one because Ghost in the Shell is a television, or it was a movie and then a television show and a manga. So these are all things that are things, right? Great. They came from Japan. Swell. That makes them part of Japanese culture, right? I mean, it's not true, but at the same time, that's sort of a dangerous proposition because that's like, well, so essentially the complaint we're getting about this now is one, you could legitimately point at any rearticulation of media from another culture, which frankly I think these opponents of this movie believe in that.
It would be like casting non-British actors in Harry Potter and people getting mad about it. Like,
but at the same time...
Because you're like, oh, well, the stories originally took place, like, and they were written by someone in England.
I still have some trepidations here because... and actually, there's some fine examples of stuff that come up in here, but one of the things that I'd like to look at is these movies, it's not like they're going to go through there and exclusively hire Japanese editors, Japanese filmmakers, Japanese directors. It's an American movie made by Americans for Americans, of which 65% are white.
Yeah.
So your audience. And of your theater goers, a disproportionate number are white beyond that. I think it's something like 75-80% of theater goers are white.
Well, this kind of... Well, I don't want to... tangent from your point too hard, but this is that whole thing that we're probably going to hit through at some point, which is you're not... Well, are you whitewashing or are you American washing or like Americanizing?
I think the term whitewashing tends to apply to the white
it's like the North opposite American culture of that black Bob Marley filter on Snapchat, right? That was like blackwashing.
Which I don't think that's bad.
Oh, sorry, it's called blackface. I'm sorry.
Except that was a whole other show. That was even more confusing.
So I would say it's
a tricky game because it's not like. It's not like we're turning a kabuki theater into a sex doll or something. I mean, it's a tricky thing. It's meant to introduce a film. There's the other part. The other day, they're trying to make money, right? They're making money by remaking an existing intellectual property into an American movie.
And I don't think that the decisions to not cast a certain person of a certain race aren't considered at all. I think they're just not important enough.
Star Joe's hot right now.
Yeah.
And that's a big part. Star power.
Section two. She's probably good at the role which they need her for.
Yeah.
Section three. Is she going to match the cultural representation of the character in the show?
Which is an interesting one, because they say this show is a very powerful aspect. It requires Japanese actors because it's part of a Japanese cultural identity, which is an interesting little observation. But all of this stuff completely falls flat on its face when introduced with this thing that's recent for us but old for you. Is where one of the publisher, someone, an official spokesman from the publisher, stepped up and said, "Oh yeah, we never actually thought that she was intrinsically Japanese. Like that wasn't what we considered her character to be, and we liked this choice."
And didn't she bring up the Attack on Titan thing too? Which
is the next piece I'm going to go with. Is so the publisher, who is the only at this point, we might have to come back and let's leave a space here so we can interject our revised opinions.
Okay, that was a space. We can maybe don't need that because you can just stop.
No, it's not a space. That was our revised opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That was our...
There's opinion in there. Ding. Mine's a lower pitch.
It's because you have a manlier voice than I do.
I guess so.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. Got weird. So, as far as we're told now, the only official statement to be made about the casting from any of the Japanese companies has been, we like her, we didn't think she was really a Japanese in the character anyway, which, if you go back into the show, there are characters of different ethnicities, and there are some more stereotypical Japanese, and there's a couple of very not Japanese, and she's kind of in the middle.
So, are we to assume that every character in an anime is Japanese intrinsically?
I would say that's even more racist.
I would as well.
especially in an anime like Ghost in the Shell that takes place in the future in a very melting pot mixed culture kind of a world.
Yeah.
That's about robots, because the major is mostly not human anymore. Now, we have not heard from the series creator, which, as I'd like to just rip something off from someone who mentioned on my Facebook wall, thanks, Brandon. The main complaint from him probably would be that her boobs aren't big enough, because he's kind of a perv. But all of this gets really amusing, which, thanks again, Brandon, that when they created a live-action Attack on Titan, which takes place in a fictitious European-style culture of extremely white people...
Not in the future. Well, not seemingly in the future. It's not as far a future as,
I'll be completely honest. I made it an episode of that show. I was like, this is garbage, and I couldn't watch it. I just could not get into it. It didn't make any sense.
Sitsock, not endorsing Attack on Titan.
We are the three people that did not like Attack on Titan, and I'm two of them.
Okay, I was going to be like, you forgot Joe wasn't here again. Come on!
No, I was just saying I'm fat. But when they made a movie, they used Japanese actors. They didn't go find white guys. So
are they? What do they call it?
I guess I would say, well, Like yellow washing?
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to do that. Offensive. And then you did it, and so now I can say yellow washing.
But what I'm going to say is that the defense I saw to that is that this is America. We're supposed to be more accepting of cultures. And I'm thinking that's like jingoistic of a defense. Well, we're America. We're just better than everybody. So, of course, we'll have to have
it. Okay, I don't want to get to this until maybe you're done with all your stuff, but I had to say it now so I can remember to say it later. The whole idea that a Japanese person is the only one who's able to represent a Japanese character because they are representing that culture is intrinsically horribly thought through. Because you're saying, like, I don't want... People are whitewashing, which is racist, but I'm going to be racist and say only one race can actually do this. Like, you're not advocating any other race besides Japanese to play a character who may or may not be Japanese.
Actually, I did see someone who's like, at least get an Asian person to play, and, like, that actually offended me more.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, just get one of those slanty eye people to play it. They're all the same.
Or, like, you're like...
That's so terrible.
Yeah. And so, like, just kind of, like, think about that the next time you're like, I think that we should not cast somebody, a certain type of person. You're also being just as bad as the people who are casting that person for racial reasons. Like, if you're going to segregate, don't fucking just think you're better than everyone else because you're segregating to the right race. Because that's intrinsically wrong. Like,
you're like, only Japanese people are allowed here.
Like, wait, and you're like, wait a second. Like, you're saying every other race isn't good enough to be here, or Japanese people are the only ones that deserve to be here. Like,
and even so, that you're pigeonholing. Because then what you're saying is then later on down the road, any stories that have someone who should be white should only ever be white. Don't make it an Asian.
We need to let Japanese...
Nope, they got to be white. Because that character was white before, so now they're white.
Anyway, okay, sorry, carry on.
That really kind of segues to my next thing, because every time you get this, the people talking will just switch track and go to a different thing. And so I'll go back to the first one, which is that ethnicities are underrepresented in movies.
Hi. I see it as Japanese. Hi.
So... That's sort of the last piece, or the first piece I started, I guess.
Yeah.
And
we mementos the shit out of this.
Shit. I think it was just going in reverse order, but yeah.
Yeah. You just seen that movie?
Really Donnie Darko did. I have seen Memento. I like Memento. I want to watch it again.
Titsock, endorsing Memento, not endorsing Attack on Titan.
And Inception. Inception's pretty good, but that's unrelated. I just wanted to talk about it.
We'll talk about our favorite movies one day.
Nah, that'll probably never happen. So,
misrepresentation of culture.
Underrepresentation.
Of ethnicities.
Meaning, we ain't got enough of them colored folk.
Ethnicities and culture are the same, okay?
That's not even remotely true.
Yeah.
So...
There's a really nice... you can actually find that chart that you posted on Facebook very easily by typing... racial distributions in America. It's like the first thing that comes up. And they're talking about...
So, for the viewers at home.
Yeah. They're talking about this chart that shows you the people who have... I believe it's like census data, probably, because that's the only way you get something like that.
The top one is census, yeah.
And it's like races, you know, the races that people claim they are in the United States, right? Yeah. That's the first point of this, is that... It's like 70% white, and then it's probably... Is it 70? I think it was 70.
It was 65% white, okay. And about 12 to 20, I forget, percent Latino. And then a bunch of, you know, a sliver of Asians, and the remainder was black. So, like, 15-20%, I think, was black.
Sure. Okay.
Next my numbers in. What? Hi, new office.
Hi. And so, we're talking about underrepresentation of people in the community, which I'm going to refer to colloquially.
Well, they underneath that bar, which we'll put a link to this, since we're already on the fucking hot button racial topic. Let's just go whole hog on it and post a link.
Of just like a guy like
eating fried chicken. I don't know.
So. No, we'll do the click hole.
Yeah, we'll just send everyone to click hole. As always.
So we have those distributions. They show
that's the US, and then it shows the Screen Actors Guild.
Or SAG.
Yeah. It shows the SAGy people's racial distribution. And then it shows the racial distribution of leading actors in movies that grossed, or top five grossing movies by the last 5 years.
Sure.
So each year.
And you look at these bars. And
then at the end was the Oscar winners, because that was the contest. Yeah, Oscar winners.
And you look at these bars and you're like, wow. About each one of these bars is about 70, 65, 70% white people.
It is almost a little bit higher of the white percentage as you go up. But what's funny about it, actually not funny, I suppose, what's interesting was this came out of the whole no black people in the Oscars, so let's all be mad. Black Oscar winners are actually disproportionately higher than the percentage of black people
who are in movies, actually.
In movies, in the Screen Actors Guild, and in the United States.
And Latino actors are wholly underrepresented. Or no, they're overrepresented in movies, but they're underrepresented in the Oscars.
Yeah, so
like, they're not winning any Oscars, but they're in the most.
And there's
movies.
Like no Asians.
Yeah, like they're basically the one that sticks the same the most.
I appreciate the concern for that, but at the end of the day, they talk about like, there's only X number of Oscars to hand out. And that kind of skews it because, like, one in six or one in seven Americans are black. One in 20 or 30 are Asian. And, like, one in four or five are Latino. So, like, if you think about one of the 20 awards going to an Asian person, you're not going to see that very often because it's statistically low.
Yeah, and we're just talking about statistics here. You're talking about, like, proportions of awards to people in those things.
And so it's a bummer because they might get the shot for several years because it just didn't work out. Like, the odds weren't in their favor.
There's, like, not a lot of Asian actors that
which is a great justification for legitimate racism, which could very well be there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jews run it, and they're a bunch of racists, right? So, it's only okay because the Jews can take a joke. Culturally, they're good at it.
Culturally?
It's even more offensive. It's great.
Oh my God. Okay. Hello, everyone. So, basically, what we're saying is that there's not really this idea of mis or underrepresentation of various ethnicities in film is not really there. Like,
it's not
doesn't
there.
Seem to exist.
It might be. I'll put it this way. It might be there. There almost certainly are racists in Hollywood. There certainly are whitewashers. There certainly are these things. But it is not the towering inferno of hate crimes that people are making it out to be. That the data would point out that that's simply not the case.
So basically, when someone says they're whitewashing, it's like, yeah, there's 70% of these actors are white. Like,
yeah, and that's a 5% more. So there's a small problem we need to fix. Maybe.
Sure. And so it's like, what I'm saying is that you're talking about is you're literally using the word whitewash to describe the labor pool. Like, you're not talking about what whitewashing actually was colloquially.
Right. Yeah.
It's you're describing a problem with the racial distribution of a labor pool, which is actually racist. Like,
absolutely. There's one small detail, one more little note I'd like to make in this term, which is in the direction of casting. Idris Elba, who is a fantastic actor, as Roland Deschain in the Dark Tower series. There is a plot, a subplot plot that happens in the third book or so that is extremely racially charged. And it's considered by many of the fans that is a critical character-defining moment for both him and this schizophrenic black woman from the early 20th century. I forget where she's from exactly. But she's schizophrenic.
Sure.
And one of her personalities, like she's got the multiple personalities, one of them is extremely racist towards the main characters. And it drives the plot forward in kind of specific ways. So it's one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, you could rewrite that, but you're talking about making substantial changes to a character and the character interactions because you really just wanted Idris Elba? Like, were there no white actors that could do that job? And the other part is, like, if you want to really get into the nuts and bolts here, Roland Deschain is based on Clint Eastwood. Like, directly. Specifically and intentionally based on Clint Eastwood. So is it not just as offensive to select a non-white actor for that role, who is specifically literally called out in the book series as being based on Clint Eastwood.
And has significant character interactions that are based on race.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like...
He also hails from a fictitious kingdom that is very Avalon, European,
Sure.
Anglo-centric.
So I guess I've never read any of that, and I do remember them talking about this. I don't remember it being as buzzy as this,
no, because,
this topic, but I do wonder, like, people out there, so what are your opinions on that? Like,
do start a flame war.
Yeah.
Race war!
Yeah, Sid Sauk starting race wars since 1972.
Fight the black power.
So, like, what do you guys think about that? Do you think that people should be able to, like, pick... I don't know. Pick, that's a stupid thing I was going into. How do you feel about the differentiation of reactions to various casting roles? Like, are we whitewashing? Are we blackwashing? Are we, like, car washing here? Like, what are you doing? Like, do people get mad about stupid shit? Or is everyone
or is it all a dog fart?
Okay with Idris Elba being cast as a guy who was specifically supposed to be white and that was literally part of his character development? Or are you more offended by ScarJo being cast as a Japanese person who no one really cared about being Japanese in the first place? Man, I don't want to slant your opinion or whatever.
But. Yeah, but I mean, you're fucking wrong if you disagree with us. And you're a race traitor.
Well, yeah, if you don't, yeah. Oh, man, that's the biggest thing right now, guys. If you don't agree with Sid Sauk, you are basically...
You're a race traitor.
Yeah. Well,
you're a traitor to...
That's our episode for today, everyone. Make sure to check out all the
this
content.
This is where we get pulled from everything and everyone hates us now.
Make sure we check out all the content at ether.net, which is not associated with this podcast because we're being racist today.
Check out that Artificial Happiness.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good show right now. And we also got a new article called Movie Fours going up.
What?
It's Dalton.
It should be up already.
There's one. He's doing it every other week. So Dalton wrote about the Vietnam War with regards to Aliens, the movie, and how there's a lot of subtle allusions back and forth between... things in the Vietnam War versus characters in Aliens. It's pretty good, actually. See you next time, everyone, I guess.
So, assuming we don't get lynched, this is Kendrick.
It's Kyle.
And how do I... Wait, there we go. Sit talk!